Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Never comes out when you want it.
Well, my.
You guys get off somewhat on time.
Now that makes my mouth feel good.
Hell no.
My mouth was big enough that it just fit in nicely.
Okay. What's your point?
I love your peanuts, man.
I have showered with the guy one-on-one.
All right, a little behind. 6:09. It's club. We've made it.
It happens.
We're out here at the Independent Sports Bar watching... Watching hoops. This Nevada Florida game's coming down to the wire, bro.
Yeah, it is.
63-61.
Well, it's about time. We need a buzzer beater here. Okay. Come on. What's the first day of the NCAA tourney without a buzzer beating ill-advised three? Let's make it happen.
Short segment here, so this won't take long. But I want to bring this up because Tim Taylor, we were talking to Tim Taylor off the air.
Yeah.
Yesterday when he came in from 99.5 The Wolf.
Oh! We found out that he was not divorced and that he did stand his ground on the whole cat issue.
He brought up repeat story guy.
Yeah.
I forget what we were talking about. But I thought, you know what? I jotted that down. I'm like, let's talk about that guy on the air. Because we all know him.
Well, I have one underlying question about repeat story guy. Does he not know? Does he not remember that he's told you the story?
Well, that's my question. Yeah. That's why I wanted to talk about this guy. We all know this guy.
Sure.
And he's the guy who has great story. He's usually... like has unbelievable stories, but he tells you them and he tells other people them over and over and over. And he is a fascinating creature, this man, because I need help from the listening audience as to what that may be. I don't understand.
Well, that's the question, is
are they
do you just not remember who you told the story to?
No. I have a theory. My theory is that most, if not all, human beings, we have some social awkwardness about us, right? Like, it's you know, it's awkward. Like, you go to this cocktail party and the small talk. Like, who likes small talk?
Yeah.
But we all do it, right? So these are all mechanisms that kind of help us feel a little bit more comfortable around one another when none of us really are.
Yeah.
So it's normal.
You got a go-to, right? You got it holstered. You're like, hey, when I get in trouble, don't worry, I got this. I got the big iron on my hip ready to go.
So I think a lot of people have their defense mechanisms for social anxiety or whatever. And I think maybe, this is just a theory, maybe repeat story guy, that's just his fastball. He's like, I got to throw another fastball. He's like, I'm really uncomfortable. I'm just going to throw a story out because I'm safe with it. I know it's good.
Yeah.
I know these people will like it. I don't care if they've heard it before. Let's do it again.
This guy says my dad's repeat story guy, and I'm scared it's genetic.
Ooh.
See, I've always wondered.
Interesting.
Because I know repeat story guy. You're not gonna mention any names. But I'm always fascinated because in my mind, I always ask myself the question. I've heard this story four times. And it's one thing if you're around a group of people and you've heard the story a bunch. You're like, all right, I get it. I'm going to hear it again because you're around a group of people. But it's when story guy tells you, he's talking to you. And I know for a fact I've heard this story four times.
Yes. How does he not?
How does he not remember that I've heard this? And
yes.
So therein lies my always dilemma of, do I jump in and be like, hey, yeah, I got this one? Because you never
don't,
do.
Don't you think repeat story guy wears you down? You never do. You're right.
No.
I never do.
No.
They wear you down. You're just like, you know, it's easier to just, because it'll really throw them off their game.
Yeah.
If you're like, hey, whoa, I've heard this one like eight times.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
You just nod and laugh.
It's like the Larry David thing. Whoever does that is a social assassin. Like if you have the ability to just halt someone, like story guy goes for the gun on the hip because it's what he's comfortable. But you're quicker on the draw, and you fire off. Yeah, you know what? Heard this one. Because I was watching. You watch John Oliver, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So John Oliver did a bit this last week, and I think it was Sean Hannity, and I don't remember what the joke was, but Sean Hannity told the same joke. Then they just took clip after clip after clip, and he told it to Geraldo. Like
multiple times.
Like nine different
times.
And he
laughs every time.
And Geraldo's like, ha, ha, ha.
Like he hadn't heard it before.
And you wonder if Geraldo was just is standing at him like, Sean, like what the hell, man? Like I've heard
this.
Yeah,
what was that joke?
I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't even a good joke.
It was just some stupid line.
It was just some stupid like one-liner.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Now, people are accusing us of being repeat story guy. Now, here's the thing about that. We're on the radio.
Yes.
Okay, we do tell stories multiple times, but
the audience changes.
Yeah, like that's not the same. If you think we're repeat story guy, you don't understand who repeat story guy we're talking
yes.
about. I mean, this guy, I'm telling you, this dude is brazen. He will
yeah.
tell the same story over and over and over. He usually has multiple,
yeah.
but he'll go to the same stories, and it doesn't matter who's in the room and who's heard it before.
Yeah, we've been on the air together for 15 years. If a story comes up about a bathroom issue, like I'm going to, for spring break, I'm going down to Costa Rica. So if I have a bathroom issue when I come back, you're going to tell your story about your bathroom when you almost,
Tulum.
Yeah, when yeah. you had your issue there. And you've told that story a couple times over the years. So it's different because, again, the audience is constantly changing and you have 4 hours to fill. We're talking specifically about the guy that goes one-on-one with you. I'll even give him credit. In a group setting, I'll give him credit there because there's other people
because
there.
It could be new people.
It could be new people. It's yeah. the radio theory. But when you're talking one-on-one with someone specifically, and they don't, and I'll even give you this one. You can reference the story, but when you tell the whole story, word for word, start to finish, that's the one where you're like, oh my God, you're doing it again.
He really doesn't know.
He doesn't. And I've always just assumed that maybe people don't have the best. Like short-term memory, and they're like, maybe he hasn't heard this one. I don't remember who I've told it to, but it's a great story, so here you go.
Now, there's a lot of feedback coming in on this, and the Better You Today text line can be reached at 55305. A lot of people are blaming alcohol, but other people are saying that they are repeat storyteller guy, and they do it because they talk to so many people that they really cannot remember who, like, just meet a lot of people for work or whatever. They really can't remember who they told the stories to.
Yeah,
I don't know if I buy that.
Because I know two people that I'm specifically thinking of. No. Like, there's no way they don't think that I've heard that story. No way. It's impossible.
All right. We'll get to some of your texts on this coming up next. And then I was just reading, too. Did you know Blazers owner? Remember him, Paul Allen?
Yes, I've heard of him.
He had a condo in the Coin Center.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I saw it in the paper.
Yeah.
And I love that the story was...
Wait, you read the paper?
The online paper.
Yeah, no, you saw it online.
I saw it online.
Yeah, don't be coy with it.
No, yeah, I picked up the paper.
The paper thing.
The papers.
Paper.
No, I did not. But the headline was, Paul Allen with a secret condo. What did he use it for? My guess is to stay in it because it's a condo.
Well, he also had that condo up in the Moda Center.
But he
never went up there.
I don't know. You always hear that. I wonder if
it's up there.
I've never met anyone that's seen it.
Yeah, there are people that have seen it. People that work there have seen it. But so, they won't let you and I see it.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, nothing ever happened. He'd never go up there.
Like, I want to believe.
It's up there.
I want to believe that Paul Allen was into some cool stuff like Jody Allen. Say what you will about Jody Allen. At least Jody Allen's interesting. There's weird stuff going on with Navy SEALs and like penguin bones. I want to believe that Paul Allen had cool stuff.
Hey, maybe all the illegal animal bones are hidden in the Moda Center.
I want, like,
up in Paul Allen's suite.
Like, where is that?
You can see it there. If you're in the arena, next time you're in the arena, I forget which end zone it is, but it's up in an end zone, like, so behind a basket, and there are curtains.
Does it look like a luxury box?
No, you can't see it. It's fully covered by curtains, and it's just glass.
Huh.
So you can look up there, and that's what that is back there.
I'm here to tell you that if I was an owner of a team, I would so go apartment in the stadium.
For sure.
Like, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, because he doesn't live here, or didn't
live here. He didn't live, yeah. How great would that be, like, if you own a baseball team, though, just out in left field somewhere? Yeah, just throw up an apartment.
Okay, we got to go. Club returns after this on The Fan.
Your style. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
All right, we are discussing, by the way, Florida beat Nevada 70-61.
I think a lot of brackets got busted with that one.
We are discussing repeat story guy. We all know this guy. Says the same stories, tells the same stories over and over and over. Has many stories, usually good ones. But never remembers who he's told them to.
No. And I get it, like, if it's I think there's a difference between repeating a story to a casual acquaintance as opposed to a close friend or a family member, for that matter. A lot of people are bringing up their fathers in this. If you're a father, you should be well aware that your children have heard that story 72 times.
So a couple of texts on this. The Better You Today text line 55305, because we just, I don't know. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just, I kind of want to get into the brain of that guy. Like,
yeah.
What's that guy thinking? So one guy says, you know, and I don't know if he's talking about us, but he says, you can start one story and I know exactly which five stories are going to follow it. Perhaps a general statement, but he says the best theory is that he just doesn't know how to read social cues. Maybe that's true.
Yeah. There's an element to that. A lot of people saying that it's just, a lot of times it's an ego thing, that they love telling the story.
And they don't care who's heard it.
And that story is not for you. It's for them.
Right.
They feel empowered by telling you their hilarious anecdote about how awesome and wacky they are.
Again.
And you're going to hear it.
RJ says, ever been the person telling a story and halfway through you realize that person has already heard it before? What do you do? Do you finish quickly?
No.
Do you stay the course?
I shut up.
I bail.
I stop. So this, I don't know, you've been with your wife for like 20 years.
20 years.
Has it been 20? I know it's got to be close.
We met in the year 2000.
2000.
So what's that, 18 years?
Yeah, going on 19 depending on when you met.
This is our 19th year.
So you don't necessarily have that. But as I got back into the dating world, you would forget who you did stuff with or what you told someone.
This is a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. So, like, now, like, if I'm talking to the special lady friend, I'll have to do one of these. Did we see that? I'll ask now. I'm like, did we see this movie? Because I would make the mistake of, hey, remember when we saw that? And she would just look at me and be like, yeah, that was someone else. You're like,
oh, yeah.
Oh. And so, honestly, that one you do, you get caught up in that a little bit. You're like, hey, did I tell you that? So a lot of times now you just have to ask. Otherwise, you seem like an ass and that you're sticking your foot in your mouth. But she will. She will be like, yeah, you told me that before.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, and I'll just stop. I do not continue. It's like, whoop, sorry. Because that one's legitimate. Like, I don't remember. And I don't necessarily feel like a buffoon. He's like, oh, I forgot. I forgot I told you that.
Well, you could always say, like, Jeff texts in. He says, you could always just say, hey, stop me if you've heard this before. But I got a really funny story.
Or
about
ask, hey, did I ever tell you? But most people that are story guy, they're not. That's a no stop sign.
That's right. They plow right through.
They're plowing through.
This guy texts back. He said, "You know, he wasn't talking about us. He was talking about a friend of his. He's been hunting with for 30 years. And he says the worst is his stories are stories about something he did, and it's wrong. And he says it over and over."
Yeah, we get some of that too. Again, names shall remain nameless. But I've been in rooms before where stories are told, and then as soon as that person leaves, everyone in the room is like, "Yeah, that's not what happened." Just so, and like everyone in the room was like, yeah, we were all there and that didn't occur.
A lot of people texting in too about Paul Allen's secret apartment at the Lotus Center.
I guess people have seen it, like people that have, you know, do work, you know, they he installed this glass.
People that work there, they've seen, and it's not lavish. Apparently it's just like a hotel room, and that's, I was just reading this article and
someone said it was for his mom, and so it
he was never up there, he never used it, at least, I mean, it didn't seem he ever used it, but he's got, Oregon Live did a story on him having a condo in the Coin Center.
Yeah.
There's pictures of it, and it's like super basic. It's nice,
I had a guy I know that used to work for Nike and Adidas, and he said that he knew PJ Carlissimo real well, and PJ had a condo in that same building. And he said he went in them and they were nice, but it like wasn't. If you worked for the Blazers, you knew he had a place in Coin. I guess Paul Allen just kept everything quiet. He wasn't a real public. He wasn't a real public guy. And yeah, I mean that's a nice place. He's just not necessarily what you would think a billionaire would live in. But how many days a year do you think Paul Allen actually stayed there?
Dude, he probably just had it just to have it. He probably never even used it.
Yeah,
he's like just in case.
Yeah.
I ever need some. Let's just in case we like by the helicopter breaks down in Portland and I got to sleep overnight.
Yeah.
Give me a $2.5 million condo.
No, I think it's more if the helicopter breaks down and then my airplane breaks down and then my other airplane can't come and pick me up, then maybe I'll stay over in the Portland condo.
Can we get my yacht in?
How's that? Can we move that around up there and get me to Puget Sound?
Can we get my smaller yacht in?
I think there was a lot. Yeah, how many drinks would Paul have to have? Well, it's not like he's driving or flying. I don't know what circumstances. Maybe if he was sick and he didn't feel like traveling that night.
5,681 square feet. I see here a pool table. $2.675 million sold in April of last year.
Yeah.
His condo that no one knew he had.
And yet, think about it. $2.5 million, like they have to like liquidate stuff. Like, what is that to the Allen family bottom line?
Oh, my God.
Sell a $2.5 million condo.
Hey, you want a condo?
Yes. Maybe they just give
what
that.
What can I pay you for it? Don't worry about it. You know, can you imagine all the stuff they're unwinding with his death?
I know.
All the stuff they're going through.
Well, you haven't, you never, both of your parents are still alive, right?
Yes.
So, you know, we lost one of my dads, my two dads. one's still around, and we lost the other one. Oh, God, it's been almost 4 years now, 4 years since I lost my dad. But I remember, you know, after it was done, we had to go in, and my mom didn't want to do it. So she asked if me and my brother would go in and clean out my dad's closet. And it was amazing just the amount of, like, crap that you accumulate over a lifetime. We had to clean out his desk and clean out his closet and all this stuff. And just some of the random things we found. Like, I remember specifically my dad was big into socks. Like, you know, every...
sock guy.
Yeah, you know, like Black Friday, there's always, like, sock deals. It's like at Fred Meyer's. My dad would go and buy packs of socks. And when he passed, I'm not kidding, we probably found 12 unopened, like, big sacks of, like, 12 packs of just random, like, crew socks. That apparently my dad thought that, like, if the apocalypse hit, he would need all these socks. And so I just think about that. All that stuff we had to clear out. Imagine clearing out Paul Allen's closet. Someone had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we think of him as this detached guy, but I'm sure his sister and, you know, went through and cleaned out a lot of his personal belongings. Think about what that guy's closet or what that guy's living room had. Or do you think it was just a bunch of crap like my dad's, just nicer crap? It's like just socks, but just nicer socks. I don't know. But, like, when your parents go, you and your brother are going to have to go to Salina.
Yeah.
And you will clean out
there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. And you'll clean through a lifetime of stuff, and you'll be like, what the hell?
Parents, see, I always view that as, like, parents think that they don't want to burden their kids with that.
Yeah.
At least my parents do. I don't mind that. I don't know about you. I don't mind it.
Oh, it was, I'll tell you what.
I mean, it's emotional, but it's like, I have no problem going through their stuff, and.
It was,
they think it's a burden, but it's
it was almost cathartic in a way.
Right.
Like, we all did it, me and my brother, my sister a little bit, but it was mostly me and my brother, and his wife was there. And, we ended up laughing a lot.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, like, you're like,
oh, look at this.
Yeah, what
another pack of freaking socks.
And then we started asking, like, who wants socks? So, yeah, there was kind of a funny moment to it, unless you find stuff that you don't want to find.
And you probably will.
That's...
By the way,
that's the bad one.
We got to go, I know, but Paul Allen bought this. He bought that condo in 2017, and he bought it for 800 G's.
Yeah, he flipped it.
He flipped that thing in a year and a half.
No, he didn't. But someone did.
Someone did. For basically $1.8 million he made on that thing.
And yet he didn't care.
What a bastard. All right. Rest in peace. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
To you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
Shenanigans. Shenanigans here.
Yeah. I got called out.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is true, but Mike just showed up. Listener Mike.
Yeah.
And he said that you blocked him on Twitter.
On Twitter. Like years ago.
And is that true?
It was
Why would you do that?
It was news to me. He said it was back during our combine days. And he said, I asked a random question about like when we were doing the combine or whatever. And he said, I answered him and then I blocked him. And I was like, I don't know.
God, what a jerk.
And so then I started scrolling through. I was like, where do I find people that I'm blocked? So after 5 minutes of searching, I found a list. I've blocked like 30 accounts.
Really?
A couple of them, the people that I know. I blocked one of our old sales managers.
I
think I'm doing the old man thing where I hit wrong buttons. Like I put my phone sometimes on do not disturb.
Maybe you think you're hitting follow and you're hitting block.
I think
is that a thing?
I don't know.
I don't know.
So I went through and like I found his account and I unblocked it and I was like, yeah, sorry about that. I don't know.
I'm sorry. We're going to sound really old here, but
I know.
I'm going to go on to mine.
I didn't even know.
How do you find out who you blocked?
I don't know. It took me a while. It was under like privacy or settings.
I've
or
muted
something.
A few people, but I rarely block.
No. Like, why? I don't know. He's like,
whatever. Hey, I got a
good
texture.
A wrong has been righted, though.
Yeah, Mike's happy now.
I've unblocked Rocker Bear.
Yeah. And then he complained to me because he DM'd me once and I didn't respond. And so I said, okay, well, let me go in and I'll follow you. And then I go into the thing because he's, social media.
Yeah,
it was a big thing for
him. He had an issue with us.
So he said, hey, I said, what's your thing, your handle or whatever? I'll go follow you. And then it says tweets are protected. I'm like, well, he goes, well, I don't ever tweet anything.
Well, obviously he tweeted me and then he got blocked.
So then I blocked him.
Maybe here's the thing. As soon as he leaves, I'm blocking him again. Take that, Rocker Bear.
So here's a text. We were talking about repeat story guy or bad joke guy.
Yeah.
And somebody says I work with them. This is so true. They work with repeat story guy. And they said that they have to avoid certain trigger words that will prompt repeat offenses. That is so true. If you've ever been hanging out with repeat story guy.
Yeah.
You have to sort of steer the conversation. It's like landmines.
Yeah,
you know what will trigger the story, and so you avoid those topics or those words. That is so 100%
accurate.
Certainly.
So if someone has a story about, I don't know, like something they did like at their fraternity days, that's always a good one.
Yeah, you don't bring up college.
People love frat stories. You avoid college at all costs. You're right. You have to stay clear of that. You know where his sweet spot is. Think about it. Like you're pitching, he's batting. You know where his sweet spot is. You know he likes the high, hard stuff. So you got to break him down and in. You don't let him extend those arms. You keep feeding him a steady diet of curveballs. Low and in.
It's true. All right. Well, we heard from a lot of repeat story guys themselves who say, some say alcohol-fueled.
Yeah.
Others say, we really don't care about you. We just have awesome stories.
And we don't care enough about you. We're just going to plow right on through. I ultimately, if I had, not everyone falls into one category. But I think the vast majority of repeat storyteller is he just likes to tell the story. It makes him feel good. He gets to relive his great moment over and over and over and over again.
And another one just said, I'm repeat story guy, and it's just an urge. just can't help it.
The itch in the back of your brain. Like, you know, it's an addiction, right? Maybe you go to therapy for that.
All right. Well, I don't think we have time to get anything else in here.
I will tell you because I didn't get to this yesterday.
Oh boy.
No. Did you see, I don't know if you've seen this, but there was going to be a Forrest Gump 2.
No.
Yeah, I saw
with,
this.
With, what's his name?
With Tom Hanks. I had no idea. So I just saw that. I guess I knew that we have.
Forrest Gump's a very overrated movie.
Well, Oscar winner.
In my opinion.
Tom Hanks for Forrest Gump.
I just didn't think it was that good.
And this is the one of the things, they were going to have him in the back of OJ's Bronco. That was in the script. Well, you know, the whole point of Forrest Gump is he ends up in, like, historically significant, yeah, like, in the background.
Of course.
He was in the back of O.J.'s Bronco. And that he was ducking, and every time they would show the Bronco, they would find a reason for Forrest to duck down on accident, and then he would pop back up. But he was going to be in the back of the Bronco with O.J. and A.C.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So why didn't they make it?
They said that the whole, and that in the kind of a dark turn, his kid has AIDS.
Who?
Forrest's kid. That was like kind of the premise of the movie is, you know, his wife, Jenny, mostly I just thought about Jenny. They allude that she dies of AIDS. Well, she died of AIDS. And his little kid, Forrest's kid, has AIDS, which I thought was kind of dark. But I guess the whole crux of the movie is Forrest Gump, this is the script was mind-blowing. He finds his purpose as a bingo caller on a Native American reservation. So after he makes a gajillion dollars and his wife dies or whatever, he's kind of aimless. And then he meets a Native American gal, and Forrest finds his calling being a bingo hall guy at a Native American reservation. So he meets his Native American gal. He waits for her out on a bench, like, every day for lunch. That's his routine. He does it every day. And then one day he's waiting for her, and she works at a government building in Oklahoma City. And uh-oh, while he's waiting for her on the bench, building goes down. Timothy McVeigh. Mm-hmm. And that was the big climax of the movie. And they finished writing the script. They got approval and everything. Tom Hanks was on board. And then the guy said that, like, he finished the script on September 10th.
Oh, wow.
And September 11th, everything changed. And they said that after that, it was a meaningless movie. Yeah. They said it all just became irrelevant, and they scrapped it. And this guy is huge. He wrote the script for A Star Is Born, and he's a big famous script writer, and he talked about it. He goes, I had this thing all set, and we were going to go with it. And he goes, that was the whole crux of the movie, was around the Oklahoma City bombing. And he said, I finished the script just a day, I think it was the day before 9/11, maybe a day or two. And he said, after that, he goes, I couldn't go on with it. So they scrapped it.
Holy crap.
Yeah. That was kind of one of those weird, interesting little kind of Hollywood tidbits I saw yesterday.
All right, we got to go. John wraps it up next on The Fan.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan. Kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no
lip to Big John. Hi.
Rob's busy looking through things right now.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey,
wait, let me just add, let me. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. Are you live? What's happening?
You guys were talking about Forrest Gump?
Yeah, there was going to be a Forrest Gump, too, and then 9/11 happened.
Yeah, Forrest Gump, look, very good movie. I get it. But it winning Best Picture is a travesty. Do you know the movies it beat that year at the Oscars?
No, but I do get that. That's one of those that probably you look back on and hasn't aged well. The one I always remember is when Shakespeare in Love beat out Saving Private Ryan.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think it was Car 54, Where Are You?
Herbie the Love Bug.
Forrest Gump beat Quiz Show, Pulp Fiction, and Shawshank Redemption.
Ooh. Whoa. Now, some people are going to say it's Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction is Shawshank is
a masterpiece.
Great movie. It is a masterpiece. Pulp Fiction changed cinema.
Wait, which one are you saying is a masterpiece?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Like, Shawshank is a great movie.
I prefer Shawshank.
Pulp Fiction changed the way movies were made. I mean, Pulp Fiction was the best movie of that year.
Yes, but even then, any other year, Shawshank. How does Forrest Gump beat Shawshank Redemption? Let's just eliminate Pulp Fiction. How does it beat Shawshank Redemption?
Well, question. What year was this?
1995.
And was that Hanks's first or second? Did he already had Philadelphia? Or was Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think he won Philadelphia the year before. I think Forrest Gump was second in a row.
We may have gotten caught up in Tom Hanks fever, because Tom Hanks is an American treasure.
I think Forrest Gump is just overrated. I don't know why people just think that is so amazing. It's just not. It was good, but there's something about Forrest Gump that gets people just like,
Yeah.
Dropping their panties.
Has anyone ever gotten laid because of Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump's a panty dropper, guys.
Oh, my gosh. I've been doing it wrong all these years. Like, hey.
But you know what I mean?
Why don't we crack open a bottle of wine and watch Forrest Gump?
Never seen anything like it. Good movie.
And I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to say this out there right now. I think most people would agree. This isn't a hot take or anything. But Jenny in that movie is an all-time loser in cinema.
Yes. She's horrible.
What do you mean?
Yes, she sucks.
Yeah, she's just awful. She is an awful, awful person.
Wait, awful yes. person? What does that mean?
She's
in the movie.
In the movie. I hate her in the movie.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like just her. Actress.
No, she uses Forrest the entire time.
Right.
Like Forrest should have ditched her ass 1,000 different times.
Ditch.
Right.
Exactly.
He only sticks around because he's a simpleton, and she takes advantage of that.
Yes. She does. Yeah. She takes advantage of him because he's slow and dim-witted. Stupid Jenny.
It's ridiculous.
And then when she gets sick and she's screwed over everyone else in her life, what does she do? Come crawling back to Forrest to take care of him.
Oh, and finds out he's a multi-bazillionaire.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. She comes crawling back. Yeah. Gold digger.
And by the way, do we even know if that's Forrest's son? Or did she just get knocked up and passed it off as Little Forrest?
The weird guy from the Black Panther party.
Exactly. Although Haley Joel Osment is pretty white, but still.
Are you doing this on purpose to avoid hot Ichiro talk?
No, let's talk about Ichiro. Look, you said something earlier, Rob, and I completely agree with you. I'm critical of Ichiro, I get it, but not today. Today is really, really cool, and that was awesome to watch this morning. And kudos to Ichiro for realizing to go out like that. That should be the end. He should not, like, sign a AAA contract in Anaheim next month. He should go out like that. It was awesome to watch, little teary-eyed, and very, very cool. Tip of the cap. He belongs in Cooperstown. I don't have a bad thing to say about him today.
You know, I feel bad for you, though, John. I really do. Because they're 2-0 now, and all this is doing is building up your hopes. You came into the season knowing that this was going to be a dumpster fire, and I feel like they're pulling a Jenny right now, and they're coming back around, and you're going to start believing that Jenny has changed and that she is going to be faithful to you. And, John, I'm telling you, that bitch is going to leave you again, and it's going to happen real soon.
Look, I know. Look, I'm not a fool. I know what's going to happen. But at the same time, they're 2-0, so I've enjoyed watching them.
The underdog betting system is 2-0, too,
yes.
More importantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, it could be their year. Domingo Santana, catch the fever.
Right? Fantastic. Go Mariners.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, see you guys.
All right, love your body.
John says he's not a fool, but you can hear the optimism in his voice. And
he is a fool.
He's Charlie Brown, and he thinks he's going to kick the football.
He's a fool.
And it's not going to happen.
Well, it was a good day.
No buzzer beaters, but a couple good games. Maybe tomorrow. That's the beauty of the tournament. We have another day. And come by and join us tomorrow. We'll have the Duck game on the air. So we'll be on a little bit later, probably 4 o'clock. We'll be here hanging out. And come by, Independent Sports Park.
Yeah, I want to thank our sponsors, Encore Audio Video, Warren Allen, Attorneys in Law, Nike Hoop Summit, Laurel Wood Brewing, our presenting sponsor here. They've brought all kinds of cool gear and stuff. So, and, of course, the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. So thanks to all those folks, and we will be back here tomorrow. So if you're out and about or want a place to play hooky, watch the games, come on down. It's the Independent Sports Bar and Grill, downtown Portland. We are back tomorrow after the Duck game. So if you hear the Duck game right at 3, we'll be ready to go right after it here on 1080 The Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.